Okay, hi everyone. Thank you for being here. Looks like we just made quorum. So, let's go ahead and do our roll call.
Adrian Ackerman.
Present.
Thank you. Alex Jimenez.
Present.
Thank you. Ann Lopez.
Here.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper.
Here.
Thank you. Emily is not here. Jim Glock.
Present.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Kenna Smith could not make it. Lara Summers.
Present.
Thank you. Margaret Joplin. I do not see. Maureen Lewick.
Here.
Thank you. Mel Dominguez. I do not see. Nancy Fung.
Here.
Thank you. Bob Clark.
Here.
Thank you. Valerie Sanchez. Do not see. And Valerie Sipp.
Here.
Thank you. All right. We do have quorum.
Excellent. Okay, so we go start this off with our Pledge of Allegiance or moment of silence. So I will start that now for 1 minute. Okay. Welcome everybody. Thank you for being here. We have a big packed schedule today. I got a little message, Jim Glock. You would might not be like on camera. So I'm gonna move an agenda item that's more of a discussion during that window so that we can make sure to have quorum, because I believe we're tight on quorum, right? We're exactly at 11. Yeah, so our action items will be put once you're able to get back on camera so we can vote. So we had an agenda item discussion, the public art map review that Mel is going to go through. I can do it unless then someone else wants to volunteer. Anyone in Midtown want to share their screen later and go through some artworks? If not, we're going to look at the South Side. That's where I'm from and what I see. Okay, so let's see here. Let's see here. Oh, Jim, are you still there so we can improve the minutes?
He just messaged that he stepped away.
Okay, so then let's see here. Abby, would you rather go in the order that you had originally for yourself, or would you like to talk about the new public art donation review?
I would prefer to go in the order that we have because it's like a couple different processes.
Oh, hi, Jim. Are you able to approve minutes? Let's go ahead and do that real quick, everybody. So review and approval of July 12th minutes. Hopefully you guys all got to look over those.
Move to approve.
Thanks.
Jim Glock will second. Oh.
Did Jim second or Bob?
Jim. I think I beat him by a second.
Okay. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and vote. Adrian?
Aye.
Thank you. Alex?
Oh, approve.
Thank you. Anne?
Approve.
Thank you. Corinne?
Approve.
Thank you. Jim?
Approved.
Thank you. Janet?
Approve.
Thank you. Lara?
Approved.
Thank you. Margaret? Oh, no. Maureen?
Approve.
Thank you. Nancy?
Approve.
Thank you. Bob?
Approve.
Thank you. And Valerie Sip?
You can just take note of it. We'll follow up on it.
Approved.
Thank you. We have an approval, Alex.
Great. Okay, so then let's go to our first discussion as a group. We had agenda item from one of our committee members to discuss outreach to regional artists. And so we're just going to talk about how PACD committee members can activate more regional artists to participate in public opportunities. So just unmute and whoever wants to start talking about that.
Since I'm a relatively new member, it would be helpful for me to understand how the panel got publicized to begin with. So during the last, we had our meeting, all of these artists had submitted. How were they solicited so that we would be able to build on what's already being done?
In reference to the artist roster that we approved at the meeting together, we posted that in a number of different places to make it available. It's posted on our website and our social media as well. And then I believe a number of other like artist call platforms as well.
Is it publicized in any of the media, sort of non, if you're an artist who's not in the know, would there be another way for that artist to find out about it? Do we have any notices in local newspapers, whether they're print or electronic, or in other ways for people to find out about it if they may not be an artist who's hooked into the way that you're publicizing it now?
Well, when do you have any input on that? This is my
I'm just trying to follow up the line of questioning. Are you asking about how the Arts Foundation reaches out to the community for artist rosters? Artist? Corinne? What I do know is, in addition to everything that Abby said, we have a communications team, and that I don't have access to every type of advertising that they do, but we do use local media and work with local organizations to spread the word, including our own personal and professional networks.
I'm also, this is Adrian. I'm sorry, Corinne. I'll let you comment since you started that line of questioning.
Oh, I'm having trouble with the closed captioning, so I was just trying to see if I could hear, see what's being said. But would it be helpful for us to use our social media to solicit artists? Because Absolutely. Obviously we have different ways of interacting. I don't I'm not even sure that I'm following the PACD on Facebook.
Does PACD have a Facebook?
Well, the Arts Foundation has a Facebook page, correct?
Yeah, if Corinne, if you're not on our newsletter, we can send you all the information to be up to date with getting all of our notifications and communications. Actually, I can reach out to Janae to ensure that everyone on the committee has updated information on how we engage with community.
Adrian?
Yeah, thank you. Also a new member, so I am unfamiliar with what the previous processes have really entailed. I appreciate the information that you're sharing, but also haven't seen it like in practice. And is in terms of how we could all, I mean, I think maybe formalizing a commitment for when the advertising round starts again, that each of us commit to do our own, you know, 10 or 20 organizational outreach, divvy up local resources and make that personal connection, because the Arts Foundation has a really far reach and they do an excellent job with their communications. And also the onus can fall on us as committee members as well to support those efforts. But then also, since this is a committee comprised of representatives that include you know, the city and the county, who each have their own communications kind of machines and resources available, then maybe it is us as like upon us as committee members to interact with the folks that appointed us to activate those mechanisms for outreach in conjunction. So maybe the Arts Foundation can lead the way and we can use whatever tools they provide us to outreach to the folks that appointed us and our own, the organizations that we might have personal relationships with.
I think that's a perfect example of the kind of thing that we should be doing. You know, I'm represented by the city council person who has a newsletter, and that newsletter goes out every week. I'd be happy to make sure that this announcement is included in that newsletter, and they'd be delighted, I'm sure, to include it.
That would be really amazing. You know, what we can do is I can meet with our communications director, Janae, to get maybe something that's easy to share. And then at our PACD meetings, I can share with you, like, here are some new updates that we want to go out in this next month. If you have the opportunity, please share. I think that might be very helpful.
So I was a communication consultant professional for 20 years. If there was a way that I could be helpful to your communication director, I would be glad to meet one-on-one and see what I could offer that might be useful.
Yeah, I think it's nice to hear this. I mean, I do this on you know, my own to reshare stuff I get sent, and then people share with me opportunities that are national all the time who are parts of networks that I'm not part of. So it's nice when that happens, and then I try to share as well. So I think. Just in keeping with just being more active members of the public art community as committee members, it makes a lot of sense to try to utilize the networks that we're connected with. Jim Glock, you mentioned, just chatted that his connections to WAMO. It's hard. I see so much communication because I'm just in the industry. So I feel like I see a lot from Arts Foundation, but it's probably the channel that I'm a part of that I see it. So it's good to hear other people. And also comparatively to like 3 years ago, Arts Foundation is even more vocal and present on social media than ever. So I've been like, oh, great. They're doing a great job of communicating. But as Corinne pointed out, there's people who aren't, they're not following the Arts Foundation. They're not even on the newsletter. I always tell all my artist friends, you need to get on the newsletter for the like two arts organizations that we have, because you'll miss out on opportunities. So anyways, I think that's a really good idea. I don't know what the Arts Foundation can do to streamline the process, but one really simple thing is just when you receive the newsletter of opportunities, I just forward that on to people, sometimes just a little note, like this grant, like seems like it's something that fits your, you know, fits your style, fits your, mission. When I see people in person, I tell them, oh, did you know that there's this thing coming up? So, I think that's, who is anyone not, it doesn't receive the Arts Foundation newsletters? Okay, so there's a couple of people who don't. We definitely should just, can we just add everyone who's a current committee member to the newsletter?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I found that Arts Foundation does pretty excellent communication through the newsletter of what's happening in the organization. And not everyone likes receiving newsletters.
Alex, may I ask, is the, when is the next round? Because this topic, it's applicable to all public art opportunities, not just for the register, right? Is like, how can we engage more? So I wonder if like the next big opportunity that the Arts Foundation wants to focus on. I know y'all have a lot on your plate right now, but like maybe in the next quarter or something, if we wanted to dedicate some time and space on this committee to brainstorm some even like institutions that we should be hitting with each of these, when each of these opportunities come out, and maybe it could be like a rotating, folks can volunteer for like, I'll make sure that PCC gets this. I'll make sure that a student union at the UA gets this. I'll make sure that this is going out to X, Y, and Z neighborhood association. And then we could just probably be activated in that way. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think that's really, that would be helpful. I mean, I don't know. I know Arts Foundation's super busy. And it seems like grants are rolling. There's a lot that are spotted throughout the year. There's some organizations that very much have a start period, and they only have a grant funding period that starts in spring. It's often spring. But it seems like Arts Found has been lately at least having lots of like spotty here and there. It's the ARPA funding, right? Yeah. All the COVID relief money. I think if there were us as a committee working with Arts Foundation, and if I don't feel like the Arts Foundation has often engaged us as a committee to do that sort of networking, but if it's an interest in our committee to be more active in that, I think that that's really great. And maybe that can, our dynamic and relationship can change then with how Arts Foundation announces upcoming projects and stuff to us.
I think it would be great if we had a plan on how we could be more helpful to the staff in using our connections, and I'd be happy to help with that.
Alex, sometimes we have subcommittees that are formed to actually generate some kind of something for the whole committee. Maybe this would be a good time to do that.
Yes, it's certainly at the sort of will of the committee. one thing we found out with sort of the new, what's the word? Just paying better attention to our rules. We have to publicly, our subcommittees still have to remain public. So, which means that there has to be set time and it has to be in advance. I don't know if staff needs to be there or not for those, but yeah. So anyways, it's a little bit more involved than I think it used to be, where it was a little bit more relaxed how subcommittees were run. But certainly if someone is interested in heading up a subcommittee, I would entertain that.
Could we start first with just an informal meeting? Is a subcommittee required to do that?
Any meeting of all of us together would require public notice. So we,
if one of us or two of us meet with staff, does that require public notice?
No, individuals can connect with staff. It could be an agenda item, I think, that maybe we could have you report back to us. I think that would be within how we conduct meetings. Corinne, if you, since you expressed interest in discussing communications with Arts Foundation, maybe that might be a way we could just add another agenda item to bring it back up, and then you might be able to share what you learned. Leticia, that's correct, right? For as far as our what we can and can't do.
As you mentioned, if it was, a lot, the whole PACD committee meeting with staff, then yes, that would have to be publicly noticed. And but if it's just maybe one or two talking to staff about, creating something, then no, that doesn't, it's just, conversation. But I'm not too sure about if you would agendize it. You could probably do it in the chairperson's report, what was discussed, and then maybe discuss it further as an agenda item and then talk about creating a subcommittee.
Yeah, I think that'd be great, because maybe a subcommittee wouldn't be needed if it's very clear what steps there are.
That's something I can look into further at the clerk's office and get clarification on it.
Maureen?
Don't we have Art Foundation members on our TPAC committee? We used to.
Jim has his hand raised.
So this is kind of a sticky issue. I've been involved with committees for a lot of my career, and I would be curious to see whether or not a subcommittee that is less than a quorum has to abide by open meeting laws. I do not believe that is the case. That's my experience. Rules have changed. It's been 10 years since I had to manage committees. And that certainly, I think, be beneficial to us to get some work done for the benefit of the committee as a whole, because anything that a subcommittee comes up with still has to be brought forward to the full committee for full disclosure and action before it's acted on. So, Leticia, I wouldn't mind. I'll be back in Tucson October 1st joining you with any discussions with the clerk, because there's been a lot of confusion lately. And also, if you're a Ward 6 newsletter member, you know that the city has been talking about quorum issues with respect to the number of people that need to be present for a quorum. And it's not going to be a quorum of the designated number of members. I think they're going to say now the quorum is going to be designated of the majority of the members that are appointed, so that council members and offices and who are errant and not appointing people can't hold the rest of the committee hostage. And so if we're a committee of 21 and sadly boards of supervisor members or council members or the city manager fail to appoint people, it's the number of people appointed and approved by mayor and council who have done their oath that counts for the total number of people whom we have to have a majority of to establish a quorum, as opposed to the full membership. But I'd be curious to learn more about that. And I sit on a number of committees, and one committee has one set of rules, and you guys have another set of rules, and I'm like wanting to raise my hand saying, well, no, you don't have to do that. And then I get myself crosswise with everyone and what's my source and stuff like that. So I'd like to be in the midst of getting this sorted out, because I am on so many damn committees that it's frustrating that it varies from one to the next. So we'll try to, I'll do my best to dumb it down so that I can understand it and share with everyone.
Yeah, so my understanding, I also serve as support for a number of committees as well. The clerk's office did explain to me that some of the committees, yes, they say they have 11 members. They need, so this committee has 21 members, for example. You need 11, so half of the 21 plus one, so it's 11 members to meet quorum. And there's another committee that I'm on for the city. It's just all city staff, all city appointed members, and say they have 14 members. They need half of that, which would be 7 plus 1 is 8. But if all the seats are not filled, they go by the number of seats that are filled to meet quorum. But unfortunately, because PACD is a joint committee with the city and the county, you still have to have 11, even though the seats are not filled. Joint committees have were not approved to the same standard as just a single city committee or a Pima County committee. Yeah. I know.
I am on the Independent Audit and Performance Commission, which is a small commission. It only has 7 required members, and one position has been vacant for at least 2 years, and we still have to have 4 members in order to meet a quorum. And the subcommittees all have to abide by the open meeting law, which means they have to publish an agenda and give notice.
Adrian?
Yeah, I was just going to share. I used to work for the city clerk's office, but I wasn't on the boards and commission side of things. And I will just say, even with like daily exposure, I'm still muddy on the requirements. But something that we used to do for boards and committees and commissions was if they requested kind of like a presentation to be agendized on what for that specific committee members could and could not do, they used to provide that. So I don't know if that's one way to kind of bring that to the table for this committee, and not place all the onus on you, Leticia, though I do think that's a very generous offer.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that maybe we could reach out to someone at the clerk's office to explain as a presentation, as you said, to the committee how it works after everything was said and done.
Jim? I just want to interject for a moment the amount of time that's being spent on a topic that's not on the agenda. Oh.
Thanks, William. Yeah. I was just wondering about that. Well, it seems like there's interest in maybe a subcommittee on this topic of more active engagement. So I'm just not quite sure if
although we think that a subcommittee is necessary at this point. I thought we just wanted to talk about the kinds of things that were being done and what the members of this group could do to assist in getting the word out.
Yes, that was part of the agenda item, but we got, I think, a little sidetracked. So I'm not sure we totally were able to fully discuss the different what was maybe intended by the agenda item, because the issue of a subcommittee came up and that needed some clarification. I do think it'd be worth it, Corinne, if you're interested in chatting with communications, that maybe we could start there as it's informal, and I'm happy to be a part of that. So I can.
And if Adrian would be willing to join us, I think that would be helpful, both because we're both relatively new and because we expressed ideas about what might be helpful.
Yeah. I'm meeting with the comm team tomorrow, so I can bring it up to them to see if we can schedule a meeting for the Arts Foundation to share with any PAC team members our current processes for artist outreach. And then we can go from there.
Great. I think that's great. So I will just make a new agenda item for the next meeting as a report back, sort of, to continue the conversation. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for the interest and engagement. Let's go to Will Wynn's first action item, artist concurrence approval of Joaquin Murray at the Park.
I would love to. Jim Gluck is not present.
Oh.
Does that affect? I mean, that will affect the vote, but I assume I should wait for the presentation as well. Yes, that's a yes from the team.
Yeah, I would wait a minute.
But we can talk about how great of a park it is. Great park. It's on the west side, Ward 1.
Pepin is going to be revamped.
It is.
It's going to be even greater.
It will be. It will be. And I'm going to share some of that momentarily.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I was supposed to... and forgot to mention to everyone was that I am that there's usually no meeting in December, so just keep that in mind. It's usually a meeting that we intentionally cancel, so if everyone's cool with that, we'll...
Abby, did you have something you wanted to put?
Yeah. Did you see me trying to consider how I should interject? That was me.
Has we changed our minds since like a week ago?
I think it just that was something that was mentioned as something that comes up. But I want to just throw out here, maybe let's leave it open for discussion, because we have a lot of things coming down the pipeline on timelines.
Okay. Well, there we go then. Never mind. I was excited about that one.
Well, we still have a couple more months, so if timing works, but just to be safe so we're not pushing out projects even further out into 2024.
Sadie, do you want to jump in with your announcement?
Perfect.
Sure, I'm going to just share my screen real quick. Okay, can everyone see my screen? All right, thank you. Hello, everyone. So as you know, I'm overseeing the Salud Arte program, which is a collaboration between the Arts Foundation and the Pima County Health Department. And I just wanted to put an invite out to all of our PACD members to join us at the upcoming community events happening this month and next month. And so if you go to our website, artsfoundtucson.org, and go to the programs tab right here and click Salud Arte, it'll take you to our Salud Arte event page. Where we outline the dates and times for all of our community events. Just for a little update on what Salud Arte is, if you haven't been a part of any of the conversations yet. Basically, Salud Arte is going to be exhibiting 5 temporary public artworks that were co-created with the Solid Arte committee members in each district and the artists that they selected. And so at these events, we will be unveiling the artworks that were created. And so our first event is happening in Green Valley at the Green Valley Community Performance Arts Center on the 24th. At this event, there will be live mural painting with the artists that the district committee selected. They go by Anon, as their artist alias. It's actually an artist team, a husband and wife, Jonathan and Samantha Arango from Florida. And so that will be a super interactive event and all are welcome. It's from 2 to 6. Later on this month in District 1 at the Ande Community Park, we'll be celebrating that district's achievements with two murals created by Louise Mena. That event is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have, they're all right here if you'd like to see. You can't see what I'm talking about, in October, we'll have the District 5 event, with the selected artist as Mata Ruda, also known as Carlito Miller. District 2's event is going to be at Utterback Middle School on October 15th. And then the final event, for District 3 is taking place in Ajo. That's about 2.5 hours away from Tucson. From 10 a.m. to 2, and the artist that community selected is Jose Sandoval. And there's more details on the website if you'd like to check them out. We also have Facebook events. If you click on this link, you could find the links to all of our Facebook events. But here's just a little, it's a link to the artist directory that we have on our website, and these are all the selected artists. For the Solid Arte projects. Jose Sandoval here. He's a local from Ajo. We have Montaruda, Luis Mena, and I guess I didn't mention Barbia. Barbia was the artist selected for District 2. Any questions? And I can't see you if you're raising your hand. Okay, well, I'll put the link in the chat and yeah, feel free to attend or reach out to me or any of our Arts Foundation staff if you have any questions. Thank you.
I don't know, Jim, if you can hear us. So we can move on to our action items. There's just only one more announcement, Abby, about moving our meeting next month.
Sure, I'll jump in now. Not next month, but for November, we wanted to suggest that we move the meeting time from the second Wednesday, like it normally is, to the third. Most of the Arts Foundation staff is going to be attending a conference during the normally scheduled time, so we will be unavailable on the date that it's scheduled, which is the 8th. So we are proposing changing it to Wednesday, the 15th, still at the same time, 3:30 virtual as usual, but just a week later.
Do we need to take raise hands if that's okay with everyone?
I suggest again the absence of a quorum.
Well, this isn't an action item per se. We're just we're discussing changing the date of the meeting. So if anyone, it doesn't work for them. Does anyone know? Does it not work for anyone? It works fine for me. Cool. Leticia, is that we don't need to take a roll call vote on changing.
No, I think if someone were just to mention that it was an issue for them, I think that would be okay. But as Abby mentioned, it's an announcement. If there's no objection, then I'm pretty sure she can proceed with that in November. We can do like an email poll when it comes to and see if there is an issue. But since it is a couple months away, we have time.
Okay. Let's see here. So we have enough time to still do a public art review discussion. So I'm happy to share my screen and we can go over some the public art map as we continue to look at our collection of public art and the purpose of this being that we're just as a committee familiarizing ourselves with our collections because we do donation approvals. So it's good to know what's around already and what we have in our collection. So let's see here. Am I unable to share?
No, you're able to.
Okay. Here we go. Share screen. There we go. Okay. Can everyone see that? Okay. So I clicked on West Side because I think I had already went through all the South Side public art collections. Well, this is a nice bust. I don't know who Felix Lucero was. Interesting. What is that? Oh, is this in the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, is this the sculptor who sculpted all the... He must have been the sculptor who did the all the works in that garden.
Yes. Yeah, he's the artist that created the rest of the garden. And that is currently undergoing maintenance right now. So It's being restored. So that's something to keep an eye out for.
Cool. Let's see here. This work here, Tire Treads by artist Vicky Scurry, created a cast concrete retaining wall imprinted with Intaglio designs. That's really cool. This was the Department of Transportation for flood control. Oh, I know where this is. I always wondered about these. That's really cool. You know, I haven't seen one of these come up in for artist bidding in a long time, like walls and stuff. It seems like that sort of construction work happens pretty consistently. Is it just that work, sculptural work like this has fallen out of style?
I think it depends. The most recent flood control project was Pima County, was a mural.
Yeah, it was a mural. Really big
one. But this type of work is fairly common with ADOT bridge projects and highway projects.
Okay.
It's also a very sustainable way to make public art.
Why is that? Because there's always things being built?
Because it doesn't require a separate structure. It's part of the engineering of the building. And it's part of the, I mean, it's literally part of the construction. So it's not an extra component that's being added to that could deteriorate or be broken.
Okay. We'll just look at one more. I see that Jim is back, so we'll just look at one more piece of art and then go back to make sure we get our action items taken care of. Let's see here. This is a mosaic. Oh, from Santa Teresa Tile Works. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever looked at these up close.
Susan is my neighbor.
Oh.
I mean, like, she's house-sitting my house right now. So, and she does wonderful work. And this was on the Santa Cruz River and is one of her earlier pieces. She has a piece on the Big Dig in Boston.
Neat. It's like we have a lot of just the exterior wall photos. I'll have to check this one out up close. I'm on the river path next. Cool. Well, that was very brief. Let's get back to our regularly scheduled programming. So, Wilwin, can you take it away?
Sure. Let me get sorted here. So today we have another great CIP project to share with you. I'm going to go ahead and show my screen. Okay, do you see? I don't think it's full screen, but that's okay.
I can see it.
So, thank you. So today I'm going to present to you for your vote to approve of the artist selection by the Joaquin Murueta Park Public Art Project panel. I introduced you to them last year. And I'll tell you a little bit of the project just to bring you up to date because it's been in the works for quite a while. So Joaquin Murueta Park is going to receive public art, public improvements in accordance with Prop 407. The bond funds will be dedicated to improving park amenities, the playground, baseball fields, the pool, maybe splash pad, and some building improvements. And the inclusion of public art, of course, for the 1% of the program. And this will be happening between now and 2025. The budget is $97,398, which is great. This is in Ward 1. The opportunity for public art for this project is pretty wide because of the budget. So the opportunities for sculptures and murals, working with the city, with parks that were interested in work that was vibrant and playful, that could enhance park features and amenities, cultivate a distinct sense of community identity, and acknowledge the culture and history of the neighborhood. The artwork locations that have been discussed so far are largely within the main area of traffic. That's near the playground, in the playground, around the baseball fields and concession areas. And a little bit about the panel. So the panel is assembled in partnership with City of Tucson Parks and Rec and the Ward 1 offices of Council Member Lane Santa Cruz. And on the panel is the project manager from Parks, Rebecca Field, who works with Kimley Horn, who's on the design team. Our very own Lara Summers is on the panel. Our PACT, our city manager's PACT representative. She's also an artist and arts professional. We have two more Ward 1 artists on this panel, Jessica Ureta Ortiz and Karima Walker. And we have some community members. Everyone's in Ward 1. And these folks have like a personal connection to the park. Raul Ramirez is a native Tucsonan. He's been using the park his whole life. And he's been part of the overall construction project since it started. Daylene Saunders is an artist. She lives near the park. And she is a representative of the deaf community and the nearby school for the deaf and blind. Patricia and Sean, they live nearby the park, and they're associated with the Western League. They and their families are part of that baseball organization that uses the park quite often, and they've been involved with the baseball field improvements. And on August 7th this year, the panel selected two applicants from 104 applications for this project submitted last year. And they selected Hirotsun Tashima. He's a local sculptor. I'm sure you've seen his work before. He actually lives near the park, and he's made artworks for Naranja Park in Oro Valley and Michael Perry Park, pictured above. That artwork was hit by a car in the past year or so and has been recently maintained. And I think we brought it closer into the park to be away from the road. But this project is not going to be near a major road, so we're not going to worry so much about cars hitting public art. And the other group is Flowers and Bullets. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They do a lot of mural work. They're a community-based group, local in South and West Sides. They work in art, farming, and activism. And they've created murals in the Barter Central Farm, Manzo Elementary, Bristol Park, and El Rio. So a number of the artists have worked with David Teneo, the very well-known public artist here. So together, they'll work with the panel to create various artworks throughout the park that represent the history of the park, the diversity of community that use the park, and of course, a strong tie to baseball that the park is known for. Oh, here's some more images of the work. So I'm sure you've seen I've never been seen this one in Chandler. This giant beaver behind the Topo building restaurant. It's really interesting. It's new. And Flowers and Bullets. So there's El Rio Center. So a number of them worked with David Teneo on that project, and also some works on the west side at El Pueblo. That'd be correct. they did some interior works at Borderlands. And then this is the work here at Manzo Elementary. So this is going to be an exciting project. And I can open up the floor to any questions that you have about the project or the artist before you make your vote.
Just to clarify, Wilwin, they're working separately on different areas.
Yeah, they're working separately. Joint themes and things of that nature will be discussed during the design process, but the panel was interested in having, because the budget is pretty good for a park, and then they wanted options, and it's a really big park, to spread out the type of artworks that they wanted, and also representative of different artists that do different types of work, and one being a group of artists that are largely the Latinx that are deep rooted in the history of that park. And of course, Hiro has been working with parks and literally making baseball art in other parks before. Lara? Oh yeah, do you have anything you want to comment on? You were there.
Well, not very specifically. I'm really excited about both of the projects. I think they're going to be really great, especially with Hiro being so close to the park and having the connections. But I think it was a great committee to be a part of. Unfortunately, I missed out on one of the meetings, but I feel like it's there for the most part. And one thing I did just want to ask as far as going into the voting process is if I'm allowed to vote on that project.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure there's not like a rule against that. Okay. But yeah, thank you. It was really great to be a part of that project. I'm really excited to see it start up.
Yeah, thanks for being a part of it. And that's correct, Leticia, or Maureen, you've been on many projects. That you vote during the PACD now and during the while you're on the panel.
So I move, this is Maureen, I move to accept the panel's artist selections for this project.
Second.
Was that you, Corinne, who seconded?
It was no.
Anne. I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. Okay. So I'll go ahead and do roll call. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Thank you. Alex Jimenez.
Approve.
Thank you. Anne Lopez.
Approve.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper.
Approve.
Thank you. Jim Glock.
Approved.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Approve.
Thank you. Lara Sommers. Lara?
Oh, I'm sorry, my phone's cutting. Approve.
Thank you. Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Thank you. Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Thank you. Bob Clark?
Approve.
Thank you. And Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Thank you. So we do have an approval.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. So, Abby, you're next with the public art donation approval for the Pueblo Gardens curb extension.
Excellent. Thank you. I would like to begin. We have a guest, so I would like to introduce Jessica Estrada, who's here on behalf of the Living Streets Alliance, who is supporting this project. So I will go through and give a brief overview of the project, and we can open it up for questions. And Jessica is here to answer them because she knows better than I would. So I'll start by sharing my screen quickly. Right. Perfect. Are you able to see my screen?
Yep.
Awesome. I'm seeing some nods. Thank you. Great. So, like Alex said, this proposed donation is for the Pueblo Gardens curb extension project. This is part of the Safe Routes to School program. And as stated in the application for the artwork, this is a crosswalk with curb extensions, is being added to make the crossing of students to and from school safer. The mural will go onto the extended curbs, which you can see pictured here. I have a closer image that we'll look at a little later on. And it will is serving to make the crosswalk brighter and draw more attention to it. The mural designs were derived from an art activity that some of the Pueblo Gardens pre-K through 8 students participated in during summer school. And the artist who made the final designs is Porter McDonald, who is one of the artists that's on our artist roster. So fun fact. and so, yes, like it says, this is going to be located right by the Pueblo Gardens Elementary School. And this is a grant funded project. So scroll down and I'm going to just click in a little bit so you can see these a little clearer. This wonderful proposal that the artist put together for us. And so the theme of the artwork is nature and animals. And you can see the curb extensions are on 3 sides of this intersection here and kind of highlight each corner. So here's a detail of the straight section. And it highlights the element air with images of birds' wings, butterfly wings, and clouds. This like multi-stripe pattern that is uniform through all of the designs. The second design is Earth, featuring a kangaroo rat and sycamore leaves with that same multi-stripe design. And finally, Water, featuring fish fins and tails and shells in sea foam, and then unifying it with that same design. So to overview the community collaborations for this project, like I mentioned, it's part of the Safe Routes to School program, which is something that Living Streets Alliance works with the Department of Transportation as a whole for that program. Additionally, they've been working with the school itself and the Pueblo Gardens Neighborhood Association. And the artwork is intended to be installed at a community block party on September 30th. And here's a little information about material and installation details. So like I said, it will be installed at a block party, which is being organized by LSA, where the artist will facilitate so that community members can paint the design. They'll be using H&C Color Top water-based concrete stain, which is the same materials that we've seen used for a number of successful asphalt projects recently. And as far as maintenance, in the application, it states no maintenance is being requested. This project is meant to be temporary and specifies the lifespan as an expected 2 to 3 years. So important for consideration. So does anyone have any questions? I would love to open it up. And like I said, Jessica is here. Jessica, do you have anything that you would like to add about the project as a whole? Stop.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, everyone, for taking the time to look at this. I just want to add just kind of like a quick reference that it is this proposal is coming from just many years with work with the school and just like with the community around there of, you know, seeing potential challenges with that area and just trying to bring a crosswalk with some safety aspects that are going to be useful for the parents and the students crossing. But yeah, that's all I want to add.
Great. Thank you.
I was wondering, is a curb extension that they like raised more concrete out? They extended the curb? So the painting's going to be on cement?
No, so the curb extension is just like the extended, it's like it's where the paint is. So it's not going to be raised. It's just going to be like on the asphalt. And so it's going to have flex posts around on the edges. And so it's meant to be protected from cars driving on it. So essentially of just reducing like the space of where people are openly crossing, you know, where cars are driving by, because it does have that protected factor of the flex post on the edge of the of like where you see the art.
The artwork that was painted last October, I believe it was at 6th, the piece Gratitude, there are curb extensions there if you've seen the areas where it's like painted around the sidewalk entry, where it's painted on the street and there are flex posts. Adrian?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. And Jessica, thank you for joining us. I love the Safer Routes to School program, so I love to see this. And I'm just curious, are there any plans in the work for after the lifespan has completed? So like once it's eroded, is there an idea that in 2 to 5 years or 2 to 3 years, there would be like another call to artists and you'd repaint? Or is it just kind of we don't know yet? Just curious.
Yeah, so a lot of the times we do have extra paint that we keep, and this specific artist is somebody that we've worked with in that same area in the past. We don't have specific plans of, you know, touching up and going over in the next few years, but it's definitely always, you know, potential, especially because LSA does work with the Pueblo Garden School. So there's always kind of that ongoing communication. So I can see that being a potential, but nothing like set in stone at the moment.
Jim?
When do you apply for the work? Because I have the feeling for these types of curb extensions and asphalt paint on asphalt projects that our donated art process is arduous. And I was just curious, when you started, how long it took for you to get to this particular date, and then put it back on the Arts Foundation to find a way, perhaps if it was lengthy, to make it a little more streamlined, especially since this is temporary. It's often by volunteers. And granted, sometimes these aren't artists. These are graphic designers, and the imagery blurs the line between art and graphics. And I say that because in full disclosure, I'm trying to do something in my same neighborhood. And quite frankly, I don't want to go through the donated art selection process because it's such a rigmarole. And I just was curious what your experience was like and whether it went smoothly. And then I'll actually work with the Arts Foundation off agenda. I don't want to make this meeting any more lengthy than I need to. But quite frankly, I don't think that this needed to come before us. I think this is the kind of thing that a neighborhood can decide on their own. Why we have to add this red tape to what's already a complex project for volunteers to do is problematic to me. So with that, I'm going to support this, and I won't make any further comments. And I really don't need a reaction. I just want to give people something I'm going to needle through. So.
Yeah, I do want to add, with LSA, we've done these kinds of projects in the past. So, you know, I feel like we kind of have like a good understanding of like the process. And Abby and Wilwin have done a great job with keeping us updated with like potential new processes. It did take, you know, kind of like a few months, but it was definitely because working with the school and doing outreach and doing observation, and it was because of adding that crosswalk aspect also added another layer, since that is a specifically working with the Department of Transportation. So it was also outside of the art. It was just having the approval of a crosswalk, which definitely has like, you know, a county, how many people are using that area. So that adds another layer of a red tape. But you know, thank you for supporting this. And yeah, having like a good streamlined process would be great. I think LSA does, we do a lot of these kinds of projects. And we appreciate you guys' support on them always.
I would like to add also that streamlining processes has been on our minds, and it will be partially addressed in one of the quick update that I have as another agenda item today. Any other questions?
Move to approve the project.
I'll second.
Great. Go ahead and do a roll call. Adrian Eckman.
Approve.
Thank you. Alex Jimenez. Alex.
Approve.
Thank you. Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Thank you. Corinne Cooper.
Approve.
Thank you. Jim Glock.
Approved.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Approve.
Thank you. Lara Summers.
Approve.
Thank you. Maureen Lewick.
Approve.
Thank you. Nancy Fung.
Approve.
Thank you. Bob Clark.
Approve.
Thank you. And Valerie Sitt.
Approve.
Thank you. We do have an approval.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And congratulations, Jessica. I'll follow up with next steps. And you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting if you'd like. But otherwise, thank you so much for attending.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone.
Abby, you have like the next two things. The donation review process update and then outreach to regional artists. And it should take us just to the very end of our meeting.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Speaking of updates to the donation process, we have listened to feedback from not only PACD members, but artists and applicants for the donation process, as well as our city partners. And we have spent some time recently making some procedural updates to the public art donation process. We're still following the same policies, but these updates, I think, will, in a lot of cases, streamline the work for the artist and the applicant so that they can kind of set their own timeline up front and have a better idea of what the timeline looks like. Once it gets to the Arts Foundation, they know better what to expect. So if you don't mind, I'll share my screen briefly. We have a chart that kind of outlines the process. All right. So we've got a big flow chart and it's color coded. And I think that it will be helpful for applicants as well as for everyone on the back end helping review artworks. So the pink items are where the artist or the applicant jump in, and those are their responsibility. The green is Arts Foundation items. Blue is when the city is responsible for that step. And then the yellow here is PACD. That's where it comes to us. So I'll zoom in just a hair. Project initiation, the artist or the applicant will reach out to us. We have a form for them to fill out online that we're finalizing right now. But then just to let us know, hey, we have a project that we want to work on, and we will follow up with them. We've created a donation handbook and support tools where the artist will spend this time up front gathering community support more than we have at this point. Currently we're looking for support from local neighborhood associations, but we're adding into the program that we want to really show support from the community. So the artist or applicant can either get community signatures or signatures from stakeholder groups, as well as proof that they've been in communication with their ward office and the city department who will be responsible for the artwork. This is also where, the handbook will also outline potential things that may come up, permits that may be required, engineering documents, things like that, that in the previous procedures sometimes weren't coming to light until later in the process. So this timeline, once the artist has it, they spend this time here gathering all of that information. And that is kind of up to them to determine their timeline. But once they have completed all of those steps, it'll come back to the Arts Foundation for us to perform a technical review and send it to the risk management office for them to perform an official risk review for the city. The biggest update that applies to us here is that we've gotten a little bit of feedback that some committee members would prefer more time to really review the donations and have be able to kind of dive into the materials. So we're proposing a two-meeting review process, where a project will be briefly introduced at the first meeting, and you'll be provided a packet of information with application materials, proof of community support, all the work that the artist and applicant has done up to now that you can really look into on your own and come up with your own questions before we come back to a second meeting, where then the artist will be invited. There will be a discussion of the project at that time, and it can be brought to a vote then. And from there, it will follow the same approvals that it does at this point. But we want to ensure that you have a full understanding of the project before it comes to you and can really have time to look into it and come up with any questions that you might have for the artist or applicant. And on that note, I have created a tool that might be helpful. And if it's not helpful, that's fine. It's an optional tool. But we'll be sending out with each packet a sort of a worksheet. A rubric, and I'll just share my screen again. Sorry about that. All right. So this rubric, like I said, it's an optional tool. I tried to think of what would help me make notes about an artwork I was looking at. And so it outlines the criteria here. This is the same criteria that is currently part of the guidelines for public art donations in these boxes. So you can go through and make notes if anything stands out regarding these criteria points. I've also supplemented some questions of things that might be helpful to think about to answer some of these questions. Down here, these are not guidelines. These are just ideas of things to consider, and then a place for you to make notes. And then the same for the second batch of criteria, which have remained the same. So the criteria points are still about maintenance and production quality and appropriateness. And so hopefully this tool is helpful. And if it's not, then you don't have to use it. But either way, we'll be sharing application materials with you and then bring it to a vote at a second meeting. So that's the big update for donations. Does anyone have any questions about the process updates? Bob? Oh, I think you're muted.
My question is that I'm wondering whether the decision by the city should come after all of the art determination has come in. If they're not going to approve it, why do we go through the whole process?
So one of the things that we shifted is bringing conversation and approval with the city department and risk review to happen before before PACD, so that that way we have input on if there's another project happening in that location or something like that. But the final review is from the city manager, and per the ADs, that is the final step.
Yeah, the first review by risk is to assess if the project is viable for the right of way it's going to be on or for safety issues, because it's a city property project. Then upon that approval, we'll go to you to approve the design. And then after that, we'll go back to the city to approve that we did it in the proper order.
Okay.
Any other questions? Oh, Maureen?
Well, since I'm representing the county administrator, I'm wondering why the county administrator isn't an and or city manager and or county administrator, because there could be communities that want to contribute, you know, I mean, Ajo or, you know, so that's something to think about.
Yeah, so this process is specifically for City of Tucson property. And the county has a separate process that functions that's not an Arts Foundation facilitated process for donations on county property.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Lara?
Yeah, I was just curious if you mentioned if there was somewhere where we can find that flow chart that you brought up on the computer, just so we could look at it later.
Yeah, I'll share it with all of you. And we are in the final stages of just confirming the language on it. And once that's confirmed, we're going to add it to our website with the donations page. So that's available also when folks have interest in initiating a project.
Okay, as a great. Final okay. Or as still a draft for us to comment on?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Before it's published and becomes the required process, do we get to see it again?
I believe we'll be sharing it once it's finalized. It's the process is confirmed. We're just nailing down our language at this point.
So we have no say in commenting on the process, it sounds like.
The process is an Arts Foundation administrative tool. It is not in the purview of the PACT, but you, of course, can comment when we share it, and we'll take that those recommendations for consideration. But the process of our procedures to streamline the administrative directives of how donations work is in-house, Jim.
So that's not even the purview of the Arts Foundation Board, you're telling me.
The board will look at it as well, but at this stage we're working on it. Adriana will, you know, file and review it, and we'll share it amongst folks. But the formation of the process is not a public one.
And to be clear, oh, sorry. And to be clear, it's still meeting the criteria that are required in the ADs. Each of the reviews and, excuse me, sorry, each of the reviews and approvals outlined in this flow chart are the ones that are specified in the ADs.
Yeah, so essentially what we're doing is we're not creating new policies. We're taking the administrative directives that already exist that are, as you know, difficult to navigate how to do a donation project. We're putting all that information together, putting it in a package up front, and giving it to the applicants so they know A to Z, all the processes that have to go through, all the approvals, and an approximation of how long it takes for each process so that we don't have any more circumstances where a neighborhood association wants an artwork in their neighborhood in for a party in, you know, like 4 months, when the reality is it takes much longer to go through that process. So we're trying to put all the steps up front and make it as transparent as possible so that for all of our future projects, everyone knows what's at stake, and then we don't have to go back and forth as many times as we have been of late. That's the goal, at least.
All right. I'll address my concerns offline. Thanks.
Did anything change significantly? Like in the order of who sees what within the city since like the beginning of the year? Because I went through this process. I'm still in this process, actually. Forever.
So we are bringing the conversation with the city department that the artwork will be in its jurisdiction earlier into the conversation. So potential roadblocks or challenges will be identified sooner, and we'll hopefully have time to kind of navigate that before it gets to the final approval stages.
So that's new, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was like a significant thing that I wish had been in place when I went through my process, because a bunch of things came out later. So mm-hmm. So just to say my own experience of why it's important is I had my project you all approved with the wall, with the mosaics. Well, when the city looked at it after it got approved, they were like, well, you need all these documents from a structural engineer, and you need wind load calculations and all this like list of things because it was over a certain height. And had I known that from the beginning, I would have started that process and had those documents ready. But then I had to scramble to get those and then pay someone. It was like $600 to get that. That paid for. So it was just like a lot. And I'm still not through the process because I then found out later that I needed city permits for this. So I had to go through both a development package application and a permit process application. And both of which are like literally still pending 6 weeks later. So anyways, it's just kind of been like, just a mess.
And the sprinkler?
And parks that like had no plans of what there was underneath the soil for where my foundation needed to go. So like they are billing me to move the pipes that they found that are under where I want to put my project. So it's just like, and then now like I have fees to pay for permits. So there's just like a whole lot that I wished I had come to light earlier, because I probably could have fundraised for it when I was actively doing the project. Now I'm kind of like scrambling to find people to help me pay for it all. So anyways, I also would, I know this is like a side note, maybe this could be an agenda item, but it does seem like PAC-D should be able to communicate with the city about their processes. And like, we are such an art heavy community that this is really prohibitive. And I know Arts Foundation's doing their best, but ultimately it comes down to how the city wants to allow people to engage with their property. And that's like the conversation that needs to be had, I think, with the city about that and about opening that up for I don't know, for to make it easier. I mean, you know, and on the public safety side, I get it. They have to make sure that this wall isn't going to collapse on people. But like, it's just a little bit insane. I had like, the engineer made this cantilever, like, isn't just a foundation. It was a very specific type of foundation he required after all of his calculations for this. It's just a wall. It's like literally just a wall. So anyways, I don't know. Maybe I can ask Adriana about that, but how PACD could have some feedback to the city about this, because it's just prohibitive.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, I completely agree. It's a lot of steps, but our role is to follow the ADs and protect the city's interests, and that's all of these steps. It would be really great for PACD to communicate with them as well. Sorry, Abby.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say we've learned a lot from a lot of projects recently. Alex, yours, for example, was one of them about the surprises that can come up. And a lot of what the handbook does in the guidelines is lay out a lot of the potentials earlier on, so folks can have a more realistic idea of how to plan their project. So that kind of concludes my announcement there.
So you have one to introduce. Can you do it quickly? I know we're running over time here. Is everyone okay to stay to so we don't have to push this out further? Okay, thank you, everyone.
It'll take about 2 minutes because mostly I'm just informing you that it's coming, and then I'll send you the application materials soon. So I'll share my screen briefly one last time. All right. Perfect. So, all right, I believe it's sharing here. This is the document that you'll be receiving. It's a shared PDF. It'll be fillable with all of the information about this upcoming project. It's titled Nature in Full Swing, and it is in the Palo Verde Park neighborhood. You may remember that we recently reviewed another artwork for this same neighborhood that was sponsored also by the same neighborhood association, featuring Angela Pittenger, the same artist. They have a pretty cohesive view and plan for their park. So that artwork is information is added here, as well as an outline of what application materials you'll see further down in the packet. So as you scroll down, you'll see the actual application, exactly what they've proposed. Blacked out here is just the artist contact information, but all of the project relevant materials are copied in here, as well as the maintenance questions as well. For the artwork that they're proposing. That'll be followed by an image of the site here, which is a wall on the north side of a pool building in Palo Verde Park, and then the proposed design. There are three letters of support from community stakeholder groups. There's the Palo Verde Park Neighborhood Association, an email from the principal of the local school right across the street from the park, and a local active church in the neighborhood. And from Ward 2 as well. These are some artworks that I visited the site, and these are artworks that are not yet on our public art map, but are in the neighborhood. And two of them are by the same artist. So I thought that might be helpful when you're determining what your vote is, depending on other artwork that's in the area. So that will be shared with you, and then we'll bring it next week. Rhonda, the applicant from the Neighborhood Association, and the artist will be invited to attend and answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby, for that. So if additions for next month's agenda was the last thing, we're going to agendize the topic again about outreaching to regional artists. Hopefully we'll have an update from Corinne and Adrian. And then I also wanted to bring up something that we had done a year ago, which was writing a letter about the free wall. I think we have new members and we should discuss it again and outreach again, because there wasn't really any movement from any electeds, and I had talked to my ward rep and she expressed a lot of interest. So, but I think that it'd be good to refresh it in the committee's mind. And speaking about like less red tape, this is definitely an opportunity for less red tape. Jim?
Felix has reached out to me regarding a free wall in my role as the president of the Warehouse Arts Management Organization. So he and I will be doing a couple things offline and hopefully bring back something. Given my now very fading understanding of city bureaucracy, but still better than most, come up with something that maybe we can deal with here. I love Felix's passion. He may irritate me at times, but I that passion is one that I want to try to help support. When I get back to Tucson, October 1, I'll work with him on that to help you with that, Alex. I do want to sneak in a, I don't know if we have time for call to the audience, but very quickly, the Warehouse Arts Management Organization is having its annual fundraiser. It's coming up. It's October 6th, 5 to 10 p.m. at the Steinfeld Warehouse. It is titled Glitz Glam in the Construction Mayhem. As you know, the Steinfeld has been surrounded by the construction of downtown Lynx for years now, and we have a fundraiser going on. Go to whammotucson.org, buy your tickets for a table, or just write a big check for us. Everything would be desired. I'll be there. We have things. We did our first attempt last year at a fundraiser. We had a great time, but we didn't make any money. This year, we hope to have both a good time and make money. Burlesque comedians, get out your most fashionable clothes and then put on a hard hat and your steel toe boots and come down and enjoy the festivities. So we are have seats available, and needless to say, we'll still accept donations up until almost the last moment where we'll be able to recognize you on our invitation material. So that's my unsolicited plug for WAMO, and thanks everyone for me putting up with my spouse's doc's appointment, but it works, and I hope we can do that more often in many ways. So thanks, and I'll see you next month.
Thank you, everyone. Great meeting. I'll see you all next month.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.